Hear the cries of the shackled from the onset of time. For the chains of defeat, there's no key. See the tears of the broken, the cries of the slaves. Is there no one worthy to set us free?
Thank you. At this time, we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moment.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning. How are you all this morning? Now, William had the bag this week. He seems pretty proud of himself. I don't think he thinks I'm going to know what this is, and I probably won't. Oh, it's a Dr. Pepper can. Well, I know that Dr. Pepper is the grossest thing I've ever put in my mouth. I do know that. So what's great about Dr. Pepper? That's what I thought. Nothing. Exactly. Dr. Pepper is refreshing, right? If we're hot and we're all sweaty, it's nice and it quenches our thirst and it kind of cools us down, right? We're told by Jesus to come those who are thirsty, to come to the well. He tells the woman at the well, if you knew who it was talking to you, you would drink from that well and you would never be thirsty again. Things like Dr. Pepper and Coke and all those things, we're thirsty again, right? Later, it doesn't quite quench us the way that we would want it to, but we are reminded by Jesus that he quenches our thirst and he fills us and he renews us. Today, as we celebrate communion, we're going to take part in celebrating that with the bread and the juice, and we'll have an opportunity not to quench our thirst, but to be reminded that God supplies us with everything that we need, right? Each and every day. And so I want us to be mindful of that and to remember that always. So I'm going to give you that back. It's cold, so it's still good. Who has not had the bag in a while? Oh, why do all the hands always go up every time I do that? All right, I'm going to give that to you this week, all right? So let's pray, and then you all can go to Children's Church. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and grace. We thank you for always meeting our needs, for always giving to us that which is necessary. Lord, we thank you for all of the various drink options that you provide, Lord, with all the various flavors and how we have all of these wonderful ways to get something to drink. And we pray that you would remind us always and make us thankful for that, because there are so many across this world that don't have all of the options or the resources that we do. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, and ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. You guys can go to Children's Church. Scripture lesson this morning comes from Exodus. It's been a while since we've been in the Old Testament, so here we are. Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. As I mentioned before, we're beginning our stewardship campaign this month here in October. And as we begin this campaign, as we begin to think about all of the opportunities that we have to give, both financially and through gifts and talents and graces that we have, I want us to be mindful this month and to remember. I want us to remember all of the things that God has done for us, all of the things he continues to do for us each and every day. We are a people who are called to remember, and it will serve us well over the next coming weeks to remember, because remembering will make us thankful. It will motivate us. It will give us the proper lens through which giving is asked for and how it is appropriated. And so let us be mindful of that this month. Let us hear now from Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. The whole Israelite community broke camp and set out from the Sin Desert to continue their journey as the Lord commanded. They set up their camp at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people argued with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why are you arguing with me? Why are you testing the Lord?" But the people were very thirsty for water there, and they complained to Moses. Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us, our children, and our livestock with thirst? So Moses cried out to the Lord, what should I do with this people? They are getting ready to stone me. The Lord said to Moses, go on ahead of the people and take some of Israel's elders with you. Take in your hand the shepherd's rod that you used to strike the Nile River and go. I'll be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Hit the rock. Water will come out of it and the people will be able to drink. Moses did so while Israel's elders watched. He called the place Massa and Meribah because the Israelites argued with and tested the Lord, asking, is the Lord really with us or not? This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Lord, we thank you again for this day, for this opportunity we have to come together and to remember. We thank you for the reading and the hearing of this, your word, and we pray that you would be with the words you have given me to speak this morning. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand, and may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Several years ago, I was given the opportunity to read a book, as I'm sure many of us have been given those opportunities from time to time, and the name of the book was The New Adapters. And in this book, he talks about the BTE committee. Now, please hear me this morning. I'm not asking you to be a part of a new committee. Many of us have been a part of this committee. Many of us have probably chaired this committee from time to time. But the BTE committee is the Back to Egypt committee, and they are everywhere. And again, sometimes we are they. Sometimes, again, we have chaired this committee. The Back to Egypt committee are those here in this passage who murmur, who grumble against what God has done. Why have you taken us out of Egypt where we had all of our needs met to bring us to this place to die, to this place of freedom, to this place of God's will where he is calling us to go? Their mantra is, we were better off in Egypt. And if we're honest with ourselves this morning, when it comes to church, when it comes to doing things, when it comes to maybe moving forward from time to time, how many of us have been on the Back to Egypt committee? Things were so much better back then. If only it were 20 years ago. If only it was 1955 again, and the church was the center of the community. And again, I'm not going to say that I haven't been on that committee from time to time. And I have chaired it probably far more times than I should have. But this is their mantra. We were better off in Egypt. Here we find Israel complaining to Moses for the third time. Now, the first time they complain, they are somewhere and there is no water. And that's the complaint just like we have here. And they say the same things. The second time, after they've gotten the water, now they're hungry. We're hungry. Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us here in this place with hunger? And so God sends manna and quail to them. And then here we find them again complaining about a lack of water, a lack of provision. God is not doing for us what we need him to do. You see, the Israelites have forgotten about what God has done for them. And they seem to forget rather quickly, don't they? Seems like almost every other chapter is them forgetting what God has done. And how many of us, again, if we're honest with ourselves, realize that we often forget what God has done in our midst? We forget that God has met us where we were, that God has provided for us in the moments that we needed it. And we allow ourselves to worry, to fret, to be anxious. We allow ourselves a table or a place at the table for the Back to Egypt committee. Like Israel, we are all quick to forget God. Every time a trial or a difficult circumstance comes upon us, there seems to be a cause of spiritual amnesia. We've forgotten. Or maybe we have a selective memory of what God has done for us. Like the Israelites here, oh, we have been taken out of Egypt where all of our needs were met. How many of us this morning suffer from spiritual amnesia or from selective memory? I don't know about you, but the older I get, the faster I was. The older I get, the bigger the fish were that I caught. The older I get, the better basketball player I was in high school. The older I get, the better the past seemed to be. Can I get an amen on that? All right. We talk about the good old days. And I wonder this morning if we're aware that today is Joel's good old days. Today is our children's good old days. And what are we doing to make those days good? What are we doing to help them look back with fondness on their years growing up and hope that they, like us, will continue to move forward? What I think is most interesting about this passage is that Israel forgets God while following him. Now let's bear in mind that whenever they take up camp, as we see them doing here, they're following the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire, whichever one is there, depending on the time of day. And so they are in God's midst. They are in his presence. They are seeing him move and work, and yet they have forgotten. Their forgetfulness isn't a lack of God's presence in their midst, but it is a lack of faith. It is a doubt in God's judgment and the things that God wants to do. And that's quite telling because for many of us, we forget God while he is right there with us in the midst of the things that are going on. And though they complain and though we're giving them a hard time about the water, what's their real concern? I was told years ago as a pastor not to answer the questions that are posed to me, but to consider what the question is really that's really being asked, right? What is the person really asking when they come to me and ask a question or something of that nature? And in verse 7, we get right to the heart of the matter. Is the Lord really with us or not? Is God really here or not? Is he on our side or not? And this is a concern that all of us have constantly from time to time. We have that concern. Is God really with us or has he left? When we forget the Lord's presence, we've taken a seat with the Back to Egypt committee. It's where we find ourselves. It's where we go. Israel remembers having 3 square meals a day back in Egypt, but they have conveniently forgotten about being slaves in Egypt, that they were not free, that they were working, slaving away to build pyramids and structures that would cultivate the strength of Egypt and not the strength of their God. They remember their physical needs being met, but they've forgotten the lack of spiritual thirst. They've forgotten the fact that they were slaves and they were not free as they are now. These people are caught up in the past because their present is not what they expected it to be. We get a sense here that they must have assumed that after God brought them out of slavery, all their problems would disappear. That as soon as they go through the Red Sea, all their problems wash away. Does this sound familiar to us? How many of us have begged and begged and begged for God to do something only to find that we still have problems afterwards? I can remember as a kid, I need this new pair of shoes. All my problems will go away if I can just have the newest pair of basketball shoes. And darn it if I didn't still have problems after I got those. Right? How many times have we done this? How many times have we thought the grass was greener on the other side only to go over there and find out that we had to mow the yard because it was so green? Israel is more concerned about their immediate needs than the long-term plans God has in place to make them a mighty nation. And we are often far too concerned with our immediate needs to be busy and concerned with God's will and his plans to make us a mighty people, a strong people, a people who can help bring others out of three, whatever that looks like in their lives. And in the same way, when we're on the Back to Egypt committee, we are only concerned with the immediate. We are only concerned with what is right around the corner. And so we have to ask ourselves this morning, how do we keep ourselves from becoming members or chairs of the Back to Egypt committee? What must we do in order to keep off this committee? And my first answer would be, do whatever it is that keeps you off the committees I'm asking you to serve on anyway. I'm just kidding. The first thing we do is we remember. That is what we are called to do as God's people. This command to remember appears around 160 times throughout Scripture. Remember, remember. We're called to be a people who remember. I found it funny that earlier today I came up to the sanctuary to get the batteries for my microphone, and as I got talking with different people, I started to head back downstairs to my office, and I got halfway there, and guess what I forgot? I forgot the batteries. And some of you are thinking, man, I really wish you'd have forgotten those batteries. Here I have to hear them talk. We got to remember. Remembering should cause thankfulness. It should cause us to pause and really consider all of the things that God has done. As we come to this table today, we celebrate the Eucharist, which means thanksgiving. We come to give thanks and to remember who we are and what God has done and continues to do for us. We come today to do this in remembrance of me, in remembrance of Jesus Christ. Giving thanks and remembering the salvation and the freedom offered through Jesus Christ. Remembering the banquet that we are preparing for. When we remember, we focus on the good things that God has done, but we also recognize how God has brought us through difficult times, or how He is bringing us through difficult times, or how He will hopefully bring us through difficult times as He has done so for us in the past. We must always remember that bad circumstances never indicate God's forgetfulness, His absence, His anger, or His sense, or our sense of His needing to get revenge on us. That's never what these things mean. God is always with us. Emmanuel. Is the Lord really with us or not? And the answer is absolutely yes, He is. Absolutely yes, He is. Today, as we come around the table, I hope and pray that we will remember. That we will force ourselves, if necessary, to remember. Remember how God has always met our needs, because He's always been with us to hear and see those needs. We also remember today, as we celebrate World Communion Sunday, that God is not only with us, but He is with everyone. God is not ours in a possessive sense, but today we remember that we are His in a possessive sense. All of us here, our brothers and sisters in other churches across the world. May we remember. And in our remembering, may we refuse to be on the Back to Egypt committee. And may we, with thankful hearts and with grateful remembrance, be ready to give that which God has called us to give, whatever that may be, whatever that may look like, however that may manifest itself in our lives. Let us remember. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. It is a good day that You have given to us. For some, it's a day like any other. For others of us, it's a day with the various highs and lows, depending on where we are in life. We pray that You would remind us this day of who You are. Remind us this day of what You want to do. Remind us this day that we are loved by You. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.